This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number two already on this Open Line Fun Sunday morning. And we're opening the phone lines up. If there's any sickos awake out there, you want to give us a call, we're open for business. 713-572-4610. That's 713-572-4610. During the break, Austin, you texted me that Colin McGregor fight. Man, what a boy, that didn't take long.
That was a quick fight, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Man, when he ear-holed him with that left kick into the right ear hole in the temple, that was pretty much the end of that.
Yeah.
Cowboy, man, he didn't look good. He looked a little woozy after that, and then it was on.
That was all she wrote.
Never show your weakness.
Yes, sir.
They'll pile on you.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty nasty. Oh, well, he didn't look that good against Mayweather. No, I watched that one.
Yeah, no, he did it. And I don't know if you saw it, but Mayweather called him out for a rematch. After,
that's what I heard. I heard that Twitter was blowing up last night.
Yeah, it was crazy, so. I'm glad we got to watch it. I know you and I were both asleep, but God for Twitter.
Big hype lasted a total of 40 seconds. Mm. Wow. Anyway. All right. Well, it's good having you here, man. Let's get to the road. Let's go down the coast now. Let's talk to Captain Billy Goshen, see what she's up to this morning. I know one thing. Don't mess with her granddaughter. Some of the powerlifting stuff I saw yesterday. Jeez.
Man. Yeah, she did pretty good, didn't she?
Man, she could pick me up and throw me around.
That's not bad for a 16-year-old.
No,
I said,
not,
you keep
not
it up.
At all. So any of you boys out there thinking about dating this gal, you better have it together.
Yeah, she did really good. I'm very proud
cool.
of her. I'm proud of all of my grandkids. They did great yesterday.
I know you are. You're a good grandma.
Yeah.
I'll hand that to you. You really are. You and your
They keep me busy.
Hubby.
Well, they keep me young. That's what it is. They keep me young. That's what it is. Well, I was going to go out this morning, but I changed my mind a little bit. We only got about 40 miles an hour wind this morning.
Oh, that's all. That's not bad. Hey,
that's not bad.
That's it.
It's a cranking. Man, the fog was so bad this week. God almighty,
wasn't
there was a lot
terrible?
Of accidents.
Yeah, I know it.
Oh, yeah. I was watching them boats go out, and I was like, man, I'm going to sit right here at this ramp and watch y'all all come back in. Gosh, it was bad. I wasn't going to do it. I canceled a couple of trips. I was like, it ain't worth it, guys. I'm telling you, it ain't worth it. I know a lot of people like to get out there in that, and not with the tides the way they are right now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, man, hadn't been doing nothing much, just hanging out waiting for the weather to decide to act right. Now, I might go out later this afternoon because they say this is going to lay down this afternoon. So, fishing's still been good.
Well,
last week I went a couple times. I was in Houston. Missed you in Houston.
Yeah, I was there before you got there. I went out there and spent the day Tuesday, all day Tuesday out there. Put my stamp of approval on very few things. No, I'm just kidding. No, I just went out there and hung out.
That's a good one.
I worked that show so many years, I just don't enjoy it like I used to. It's not, you know.
Well, you know, you've been doing it for a long time.
I know.
Well, what about the next? Well, you're going to be at the next one in,
well, the
what,
fishing
a month
show
and a half?
Is different. Yeah, that's a whole different deal, you know, because it's
That's what I tell everybody. And, you know, they were like, man, nobody parties here like they used to. And I said, that's right. I said, you know what's sad? And it really is. It's when I was at the boat show. I can remember years ago when it was Rick Kersey, you. Oh, gosh, let me think of all the old guys. And, man alive, y'all would run that place, party like no partying ever has been seen on this earth. I'm telling you, and leave there, and I'm telling you, go to the bars and keep them open even later than they should have been open, and party. Oh my gosh! And I was watching at the boat show this time.
Then get up and go fish the next morning. Get a fishing trip in, and bring some big trout in for display, and work the show all again the next night.
That's right. And I mean, and these young kids nowadays, they just ain't got it. They ain't got it. They're like ready for bed, like at 10 o'clock. They're like, man, I worked the show all day. I'm exhausted. And I'm like, hey, I'm ready to go take Sydney. I wanted to fish when I was down there, but I didn't get a chance because everybody was kicking out.
He's laying out on the table, man. We got barbecue in the booth. I mean, we're mixing drinks, and I mean, it party's on. Everybody's hanging around there, and he's laid out on the table, and with his his elbow down with it, on his head, and talking smack. And this lady comes up, and asks him where y'all out of. Hey, I'll never forget that as long as I live. Oh, those are the times.
I'm telling you. And so they're putting a group together. It's going to be, who is it going to be? Bauman. There's a couple other ones that they talked, and they're all coming to Baffin, and you got the invitation to come. It's going to be in February. They haven't given me the date yet, but it's a bunch of, and we're all going to see if we can hang with it anymore. Like, really? We're really going to do this? So it's a big group of guys and young ladies. Well, not old ladies, but anyway, we're going to run down to Baffin and put a good one on and see who can hold up.
Well, I'm going to be down there a good customer of mine put two boats together with his customers and myself and Captain Mark Hughes over at Calcasieu. We're all going on this little excursion down there and fish with Cliff Webb and another guide.
That'll be fun.
I think that's the 16th and 17th and 18th of February, if I'm not mistaken. We're going to fish that Monday and Tuesday and then come back Wednesday morning.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And
Cliff and I have been good friends for
35 years, and we have yet to wed a line together. You know, after all these
well,
years.
Well, I've only been begging you for how many years?
I know, and it, it's just so hard. It's just hard. It's hard for me to do with James and all my buddies around here these days, you know?
That's true. That's
I'm
going to
be down there from the 16th to the 19th. I'd stay longer, but I got to come back and do this show, so.
Well, hopefully you give us a buzz and we can hook up somewhere.
Yeah.
That'll be cool. I mean, because you're coming right through Rockport.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to do my show on Sunday morning and go home and pop a quick nap and throw my waders and my fishing gear in the truck and take off.
He's going to put you on some of them big girls that have been swimming in the water lately. Man, I plugged a real good one. I haven't taken a picture. I haven't posted it up. I haven't done anything with her. I am not doing nothing with her until the season is over, and then I'm going to post her up because I was like, no way. I am not going to do this because if I post that up, every time they see my boat, they'll come get on me. I'm not doing it. Mike said, hold on to that. I said, okay, I'll hold on to this one. Yeah, I finally found her. I was like, I thought it was a red. I swear, me and Mike were on the boat, and we came, that tide was out. It's been about 3 weeks ago. The tide was out really strong, and we came up on this shoreline. And, Mickey, I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. We have a platform up on the boat, so we kept looking, and Mike kept saying, man, there goes a nice trout. And I was like, my God, that is a nice trout. So we came up around the shoreline on one of these shorelines down here, and I slid off the boat, and it was colder than well diggers, and I walked up there, and I had to tease her probably about 20 to 30 minutes. I mean, just really tease her. She'd come and hit it. You could see her and everything, and then finally she hit, and I was like, oh, my God. I know you have, but I have waited a lifetime for a fish like this. I really have. And I was like, okay. And Mike kept saying, slow down, take a breath. And I finally got her in. It floored me. There's a bunch of them there, but it was just like, I wanted that one. I was targeting that one, and I finally got her to eat. And it was amazing. It was amazing. I can't wait for you to see her. Oh, she's so exciting. She went about 11 and a half.
Goodness.
Yeah, she's the first big one I've ever caught this big in my lifetime. And I have been on the water quite a bit, so I'm excited.
I don't know many people have caught one that big.
Hardly I'm excited. Anybody. Well, there's been some big girls. See, we haven't had any water. And the water finally came back a little bit, but then it blew it all back out. Like today, it's going to blow it back out. And if people work these shorelines and just work slowly, there are some big girls out there. And well, how many times do you think big girls eat in a month time? Do they eat every day? Well, do they eat once a week? I mean,
probably they'll eat more in the summer because their metabolism's up more. But, you know, with the winter weather and as warm as water is right now, probably twice a week, you know.
Yeah.
It depends on what they're eating, too. You know, if they're all they have is small bait fish, they'll probably do it just about every day or every other day. But, you know, if they're eating, you know, big horse mullet and swallow one down, yeah, probably once or twice a week. Depends.
And I was throwing nothing but solid colors. That's all they wanted. They did anything that had chartreuse on it or stuff like that, it was spooking them. So I was just like, okay, you want nothing but dark colors. Okay, I got your number. So I put on me a down south and I threw it out there. And I was like, I used the little ones. He has these little new ones out. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. It was pretty cool. I mean, our water down here is so gin clear right now. It's unbelievable. I heard y'all's water is gin clear down there. In certain areas.
Yeah, in certain areas, yeah. It kind of depends. It's warming up a lot, so, you know, once we get it cool back down again, it'll get real clear in a lot of areas that it's kind of, well, I wouldn't call it dirty. It's just not, that real clear clean, which I prefer. I'd rather have that dark green, about 2 foot visibility. You can definitely catch more fish in that.
Oh,
that
yeah.
air clear stuff, man. You got to get the bite right, and you know it's you got a smaller window there, and plus if you get any kind of sun out, then that really puts a damper on things. You know, if you got now like this week with all this fog and heavy cloud cover, yeah, that real clear water, you can target those fish a lot easier, you know. So.
So how long has it been since you fished down here? Since tournaments?
Yeah, probably so.
Since it's going to blow your mind when you see how much
where you're at, yeah.
It's going to blow your mind when you see how much the waterways and stuff have changed and how much they're dredging and changing things up. You're going to be like, holy wow, this is unbelievable. I hope he runs around and shows you a bunch of stuff because every day I go out there, it just blows my mind more. I'm just like, wow.
Now, hopefully, we don't have to run too far, and we just pull in and jump out and start waiting and catching them.
Oh, yeah, there's
but
some
even
big
if
girls
we don't catch
there.
Anything, you know, it's going to be fun just to get away and do something different, get down that way again. I miss getting to come down there and fish like I used to back in the day. I used to love it down there. Y'all are blessed. Man, after you fish Galveston all your life and you get to go somewhere like that, it's like a treat, you know. Grass and clean water and the wind never screws you up. I mean, it does. It just depends on the wind. But, you know, you've always got areas you can.
Oh, tuck into.
You can go catch fish. You bet, man. That's, y'all ought to feel blessed.
Well, we do. We do. We have our moments, though. We do have our moments.
All right, Billy. Well, hey, I got to curtail this conversation and move on. I'm already up to a break, so. Hey, if somebody wants to come down and fish with you, give them some information.
Give me at sportfishintexas.com or 361-688-8859, and y'all have a blessed day.
We're going to do it, Billy. See you. Take care.
Talk to you soon.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Later. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back. We got Santa Fe, Jim, David. You guys hang with us. It's Open Line Fun Sunday. We'll be right back after these messages. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, let's get to our phone lines. Next up, we've got Santa Fe, Jim. Jim, what is going on this morning?
Good morning, Captain.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, Billy. Yeah, she's got a nice spot down there. Well, she's probably listening, but anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just loaded up the Hawking. It's the last day. A little windy out there. I sent you some pictures. I sent you some pictures from last weekend, and that 45 degrees was kind of cold in that blind.
I bet. If you're not dressed for it.
And the I got a couple of jokes when we're done, but anyway. I set the pig trap yesterday. We'll see what's there. I have not got a pig since that last one.
Well, what's the problem? No cooperation?
Yeah. It's like, come on, guys. Yeah, but I don't want to be out there if I can't see. You know, like you're saying about... Like you were saying about that poor girl that got chewed up by him.
Yeah, that lady over my way. Yeah, that was not good. Not good at all.
And then I was listening earlier. Has a ranch, and he's got Javelino now, and he's got other pigs after 5 years.
It's a high fence ranch, and they try to keep those kind of critters out of there.
Right.
But there's a lot of, you know.
There's a lot of sign around the feeder, and after I rebuilt that, I went to a plastic container instead of a metal one.
Yeah.
And that thing, I only fed it once this year. I think I only got it set on one time feeding. So I dumped a whole bag out. Yesterday afternoon in the rain, and I'd kind of put it up towards the trap, so I didn't put it into the trap. So maybe that's what was happening. They were feeding right into it and then bumped the door, and that set it off. So it's a little windy this morning.
Yes, it is. It's gusting pretty high out there this morning. Pretty blustery.
Did you go fishing this week?
No, I did not. I don't have any trips right now, and I'm not fishing right now.
Yeah, Billy said she caught a nice trout, 11 pounder.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
We were down there with
whatever it was.
We were down there with her, and there was a handful of boats that were bird dogging her, cutting right across and all. Now, that ain't right.
Anywhere you go, that's the nature of the beast these days. It's just the way it works. It's part of the game.
Part of
the game we play.
What do you call a sword that's lightweight?
You tell me.
A lightsaber.
A lightsaber?
A lightsaber.
Saber. S-A-B-E-R.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
You know the difference? You know the difference between an alligator and a crocodile?
Yeah, I do.
It's see you later and after a while.
Yeah, see you later, alligator, and after a while, crocodile. Exactly.
What are you doing this week?
Probably nothing. Probably fish a day or two. Depends on the weather. Go out and run around.
This cold front's going to hang in for a little bit.
Yeah. I think that once the wind gets down behind it, everything will be all right.
I was going to say that I'm listening to you on the phone because the radio doesn't pick up real good AM. But you're kind of like...
You got a FM radio?
Yeah.
Go to 100.3 HD2. 100.3, that's our FM station. And then in HD, you go to Dash 2, and you can pick up the outdoor show here at Sports Radio 610 in HD.
Oh, okay.
Might get all better signal down there where you're at.
Yeah, because I've been listening to you on the phone all this time, and just recently this week, it's sort of like you're kind of breaking up like, what was that digital guy that used to be on the computer? You kind of like break up.
And that's happening every single time you listen to it?
Just for the last week.
Huh. Maybe it's your phone then, signal.
That's got to be.
I don't know. I hadn't had anybody else complain. I know about a week ago we had one show that was kind of skippy like that digital sound, but
yeah,
haven't heard any more since.
Hmm.
Anyway, all right, Jim, I got to roll. I got more people. All right, buddy. See you, man. Have a good Sunday.
I'll let you know what I get.
All right, later. All right, next up, let's go to David Pruitt. He's up next. David, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, Mickey. How's it going?
Good, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Going duck hunting. That's a good thing to do.
Yes, it is. At least we got a good weather change for it for today.
Well, yeah, it was different wind, and but it's all right. We've been doing good this last week. I know several times I got to go out with some different people. We shot five men, got a full limit, and the other day six of us got a six-man limit. So
good.
It's been all right. Yesterday was a little bit slower for, I think, a lot of people from the reports I got. The fog kind of kept them spooky because when ducks and geese are, when it's foggy and cloudy like that, they can see an HD vision compared to when it's sunny and, you know, then it's casting shadows and stuff, and we got the advantage.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference. Looks like it's almost to the end of the season, and one more weekend to go after today.
That's it. South Texas horn season ends today, and then duck season next weekend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's been a different year. We've struggled through not a lot of cold up north push birds, and then no rain on the west side of Houston at all, it seems like. It's a lot of places dried up across the prairies, but there's still people out there shooting birds, and I think we're seeing this last week where we had the lot of south winds, we're starting to see a few blue wings, stuff like that, coming back up north, and so the migration is fixed to turn around and go the other way.
Yeah. Well, I've been hearing a lot of geese out my way at nighttime, lost in the fog, man, squawking and flying low, treetop high. I mean, it's crazy. They've been moving a lot at night the last three or four nights.
Well, send them my direction. Give them an arrow.
Yeah. And that's the first I've heard this year, you know. It's been
really
pretty quiet over on my side. You know, they're along the bay where I'm at. But this time of year, a lot of them roost on the bay back there in Jack's Pocket and Jack's Pass, all that area.
Sure. That's good. At least you got to hear some of them before it was over with.
Well, that's true. The call of the wild.
Well, there's nothing like it. You can be walking around outside, and those people that have a tuned ear for waterfowl, they just be walking outside, and all of a sudden they hear that faint call of the goose. And that's the beginning of the year for most of them.
And then the speckle belly. I like hearing the speckle bellies. And boy, earlier in the year when all those cranes were first getting here, man, it was, man, every day you'd hear all that. You'd look up, and they'd just huge high flights of cranes working their way to the coast.
Oh, yes, you can hear them from miles away, it seems like.
Yeah.
They are loud.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. You can hear it sounds like they're in your back pocket, and they look like they're half a mile or further away, and there's only two or three of them. But, yeah, they're noisy little critters, that's for sure.
Yeah. But
it's getting that time of the year for, like, our club. We're starting to take on new members and getting things going, and we're already planning for next year. We've been doing that since, I guess, since the start of the season, truthfully. But,
well, that's good to know. You know, for all the listeners out there, anybody that might want to get in with you guys for next year, since y'all are getting plans going already, give them some information so they can get a hold of you and maybe get in on the good stuff for next year.
Yeah, sure. You can reach us at 936-827-2413 or check us out on the web at RicelandWaterfowlClub.com.
Very good. Well, David, it was good to hear from you, and good luck for the final week, because it's it'll be over before you know it. It's already here.
Yeah. Yeah, then we have to cry until the next time we go fishing.
That's it. All right, David. Hey, good to hear from you. Have a great Sunday, my friend.
You too.
All right, buddy. See you. Take care. All right, that's David Pruitt. And good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Open Line Fun Sunday. It is 5:39 in the Bayou City, and we do have some lines available. We're getting caught up here, so if you care to get a call in on Open Line Sunday, nothing better to do this morning than call and talk about fishing and hunting. It's kind of breezy this morning. Some may go. I know the hunters are going. This doesn't affect them. Makes it better for them. But give us a call up here at 713-572-4610. That's 713-572-4610. All right, next up, let's go to Ray Stanley in Highlands. Ray, what is up, man?
Well, I'm out here in the hill country, and it's Cavu, clear and visibility unlimited. It's kind of good to be out of that foggy coastline that we live on.
Well, we're clear this morning, too. It's all cleared out, so that's one good thing.
So I came out here Thursday. Carol and I came out Thursday to attend Denny's, duck house partner, Denny Herring. You know him.
Yeah.
You know, he lost his wife a couple of years ago, and at the ripe old age of 80 years old, he decided to jump back in again and marry a nice lady here in New Braunfels. So we came up to New Braunfels to be at that wedding Friday.
And, well, that's awesome.
Well, it is. It really is, especially at our advanced age, to get a partner to enjoy the golden years with, and I think he got himself a good one. But then we decided to stay at that Waco Falls RV Resort while we were here Thursday waiting on the event for Friday.
Right.
And I sent you a picture, or I text you. I'm sitting there in my coach, and here comes the Texas Parks and Wildlife truck through, pulling this big tanker trailer. And I said, by God, he's going to go down here. They've got a little ramp built there in this RV park, which looks like a boat ramp. But what it is just a little concrete ramp that people can walk down with their tubes and jump in the river and tube down, you know, take their tubes and igloos and get in that river and do the thing that they do.
Right.
And he backs that thing down there and pulls the plug on it, and out comes all these jillion fingers. And I was asking the guy, I said, you know, how do they measure that? Obviously, you're not doing it by the numbers. He said, you know, we just filled it up, put them in here as much as this trailer holds. We have no idea how many fingerlings is in this thing.
Right.
And in fact, they had ferried that tank in there. He didn't even actually know. I think he knew where it came from, but he wasn't real clear about it. But that tank probably held, oh, probably close to 1,000 gallons. So I'm thinking, it's good, number one, that they're stocking the Guadalupe River, and it's even down a little bit because, you know, it's still dry out here in the hill country.
Yeah.
He pulls that trailer back up, starts heading back to wherever it came from, and here came an army of guys. I mean, pickup trucks with rods sticking out of them, and they're getting their waders on, getting out there, and next thing you know, they're jerking those rainbow trout out of there like crazy. And I sent you a picture of a kid with a stringer. I mean, he'd literally
got
that thing.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I guess the only thing I know about freshwater is that I don't know anything. You know, I'm barn raised Baytown. Salt is all I've ever known.
Right.
And I said, well, you're, that guy just dumped all these fingerlings in here, and you're down, y'all rush down here to catch these stringer, you know, the legal trout, whatever it is, 10, 12 inches. And, I mean, they're jerking them out of there like crazy. I said, you're not down here trying to catch those fingerlings or anything. He said, let me tell you something. We follow that truck down here every time he comes down here because that those fingerling, actually, that amounts to chum for the bigger ones. And they get down there after he leaves, and, I mean, they're pulling them out of there just every doggone cast.
So, actually, they dump those fingerlings in there, and it attracts the bigger trout that are probably coming up to eat them, and they target them and catch them with rod and reels.
Yeah, and he described it as they think it's chum. So I guess they eat each other, huh? Eat their
If they're anything like speckled trout, they do. You know, speckled trout, that's been a problem at the hatchery trying to raise them is because, you know, they're little cannibals, man. They'll eat each other up.
Well, this kid said, you know, these bigger fish just think that's chum, and here they come. And, I mean, those guys, they know that drill. They've seen it a million times, and they follow that truck around. And when he left, there's guys out there on rocks and waders all over the place, and they're really pulling them out. That was a learning experience for me, to say the least.
What were they using for bait? How were they catching those?
Beetle spins.
Beetle spins? I'll be darned.
That's what that kid that the picture I sent you, that's what he was using. I don't know what if everybody was using that, but and there was guys out there with fly rods too. So
right,
I don't know. It looked like one of those deals, Mickey, that we know so well. When they're there and they're biting, you can throw that proverbial screwdriver out there, and you're going to get something.
So true, so true.
But okay, well, so I came from there out to Best Ranch. And I got here just in time. They had gone over to Harper to the auction and bought themselves four black buck to kind of beef up their exotic herd here at her ranch. And so they were here delivering those yesterday. And boy, those babies are fun to watch. I'll tell you what, they unloaded the four out of that trailer and they did that hop, pop, pop, just trying to figure out where they were in a new environment. And
right.
That was kind of fun to watch. So today is the last day for trying to get the MLD, the 32 MLD tags that they had, and they're way, way behind on it because it's been so hot out here the whole season. but they have got about 15 or 16, and they're going out this morning to try to end that. And hopefully this little cold spell will bring them out a little bit because, you know, this hot weather has thrown a blanket over that drill, hasn't it?
It has. It slows things down, plus being on the backside of a full moon. And, you know, there are just so many variables when it comes to hunting. It, you know, we always think of weather affecting us fishing, but it does the same thing with hunting, too.
You know, it's an all of nature thing. It's just like Blaine talked about when the cows are laying down. Well, you know, they're in a nature cycle for feeding and doing the things, and those cows and fish and everything else kind of run on that same clock.
They do.
So, but anyway, I hope they get a few more today. If my brother-in-law, my son-in-law gets one today, I guess I'll be stopping at Belleville coming back through and getting some of that sausage made. So I'm hoping that'll happen. I tell you the other thing that my sister does when they clean them up, she always likes to get that liver. And she says whitetail deer liver done the right way with liver and onions is absolutely
really?
To die for. Yeah.
Huh.
And back she had a big liver laying up there on her chopping block when I got here yesterday, and she was going to make liver and onions last night, and I guess she did. But had you ever heard of that?
No. No.
Well, neither have I. I guess I'm going to get a chance to sample it here lunchtime today because she took it down to Letty, which is the wife of one of the ranch hands here, to fix the liver and onions for lunch today. So I guess I'll get a chance to try it and find out what it's like. I've never been a big liver and onions guy.
No, anyway, I have either. Ever. When my mom used to do and all that,
you know,
and
you
just,
maybe you're having a little bit of that digital flutter right there for a second.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad to know that.
Yeah, I bet you are. All right, well, that's it from the Hill Country, my brother.
All right, well, it's good to hear from you, Ray.
We get to see whether Ryan Tannehill, he's always been one of my favorite guys. The thing I like about Ryan Tannehill is every time they put something on the internet that's the prettiest NFL players' wives, you know how they do that deal. His is always the top of the list. She's really a trophy Aggie girl that he came up with, so I hope he does good.
Well, I'd like to see him do good. Texas boy, and, you know, hey.
Well, you know, there'd be a little bit of mystique with Mahomes against Aarons.
Yeah, where did Mahomes play? Tech?
Texas Tech.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he played at Texas Tech.
So it'll be a Texas Tech quarterback against an Aggie quarterback.
All right. Well, see how that works out today.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I can't wait to watch that. All right, we'll see what the next caller's got to say.
All right, Ray.
Captain Mick.
Good hearing from you, buddy. Take care.
Adios, my friend.
All right, take care. All right, that's Ray in Highlands up in the Hill Country this morning. All right, next up, let's go to Bart. Bart, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Captain Mickey. Yeah, my mama used to cook them liver and onions. I couldn't even stay in the house. It was terrible. But I'm not either. I was going to ask you and Cliff Webb was talking yesterday and about them corkies, and you were saying that you bent the front of them and the back of them to make them, swim sideways or?
Well, that original corky, you know, that there's several ways to work it. You know, a lot of guys, they'll just leave it straight and they'll just grandpa it, man. I mean, just really slow and, you know, and I can fish like that, but I prefer not to. I like to cover a little bit of water, and I like to make fish eat my lure, you know. And years ago, I just started bending the head down a little bit so it would grab more water, and then bend that tail down too, because you could take that corky, once you let it go down out there, and then you jig it on the first jig, that corky would roll over on its side and come upward. And the next time you jig it, it would roll to the other side and go downward. And it gave it that real injured, kind of knocked out of whack type bait fish look. You know, like when trout are feeding on mullet and stuff, they always eat them head first to start with. But a lot of times they'll get in those schools of bait fish and they'll pounce on them. They'll hit them in the head, and a lot of them will be kind of, you know, messed up and swimming crooked and acting all funny, and that gives them a better object and target to go, well, this one here is wounded and injured, and so I'll be able to, that's an easy meal for me. It's an easy catch, and they seem to like that type of presentation from all the years I've fished with corkies. I like, you know, it depends on the setup you're in. You know, if you're covering water over a flat and you're having to move your bait around to target fish when they're scattered, that works real great. Now, when they're piled up in one spot and you got them on a piece of structure on a drop-off or whatever, I mean, you can pretty much throw it out there and let it sink down, jig it a couple of times, and just go ahead and set the hook because you're on. But I know it's worked good for me over the years. Cliff, Jay, you know, James, Blaine, all of us that have fished like that for years and years with them. And that's what I like to do, the original corky. Now, the fat boy, I like doing it to that bait also when I'm fishing real shallow. Like if I'm targeting fishing waist-deep water or less than knee-deep water, I'm doing the fat boy the same way. You can turn that head down and bend that tail also and just kind of get a little semi-banana shape out of it, and it works really well for me. I've always used that practice a lot over the years.
Okay, how far is like they sink? you know, when you cast them, and they, you know.
Well, they sink real slow. That's what's unique about the Corky, because it has the cork insert in there on the wire that runs through it that the hooks are attached to.
Right.
It's a boogie, and it sinks slow, and it'll spin. Once you're out, you know, I need to get this bait down a couple of feet or 3 feet, depending on, you know, whether you're throwing out deep or throwing shallow. And, you know, just gauge it to how long it takes you for that lure to get to the bottom, because it eventually will. You know, it'll sink on down to the bottom. But,
oh, okay.
To suspend it in the water column in front of those fish, a lot of times, you know, these trout will lay on the bottom, and they're looking upwards. And walk move overhead, and deep water less. I mean, the strike zone is anywhere in my books. A lot of times they don't want to come to the surface and bust a bait when they can eat one. It's a lot easier for them to eat a bait fish under the water than on top of the water. And you get more positive strikes and hookups.
Yeah. All right, man. That's I usually fish with, you know, the couple hole minnows y'all turned me on to them little johns. I really like them.
Well, that turned out to be a good bait, man. It's bad to the bone. That's a bad to the bone bait. But no, once you get accustomed to fishing with those corkies and figure it out, and the thing too, don't use too stiff a rod with them. You know, use a light tip rod, you know, a fast taper rod. It's got backbone for fighting a big fish, but you want the finesse tip on it too, where you don't overwork that bait when you jig it. And especially with braided line, you know, braided line has no stretch at all. When you pump that bait, it reacts a lot with braided line because there's no stretch, and you're going to get way too much movement out of it. That's why I like mono.
I've seen that with the Lele. That, you know, because practice with it, and then I see it, you know, you just got to barely hit it, you know.
Right.
You jerk it. Well, that thing's coming, you know.
And that's a mistake a lot of people make with the Lele. They try to throw it with braided line, and you don't get any sink with it. You can't get that bait down like it's designed to do with braid, because braid is so buoyant. You know, it floats too easily. You want some absorption rate with your line. You know, like fluorocarbon absorbs more and it sinks faster than regular mono. But far as just throwing straight fluorocarbon, I'm not into that. I like to use fluorocarbon leader on straight mono, and then it just works out better for me. It's a better combination.
Okay, yeah, because this is the first time I did my reel with the braid, you know.
Yeah.
And I kind of noticed that myself with doing that.
Well, I like the braid, you know, for certain applications, you know, like topwater fishing. There's no stretch. You get more positive hook sets with it, because a lot of times, you know, you'll be working a topwater, walking the dog with it, and the fish will pile all over it, and you really don't have to set the hook on him. You just lift up and start reeling. But it's different when you go to soft plastics and other baits that you want to get down and be able to finesse with. So, all right. Well, yeah. Bart, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah. Well, one more. Cameron doing that fishing tournament?
Yesterday they dropped down. The last time I checked, they were around fifth place, but I couldn't get it up on my computer this morning. I'll try again and see if he call in and let me know how that turned out for him.
Oh, well, thank you, Captain Mickey, and thanks for the info.
Appreciate it. All right, Bart, thank you. Have a good day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.